Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Let's look at God's word. Today we want to consider the seven benefits of waiting upon the Lord. Seven benefits of waiting upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that as we sit under the authority of your word, that Lord, you will bless us and enlighten us in the name of Jesus. You will give us the power to come into the things that you will be revealing to us in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray for everyone that is online. We ask that you will also grant them the same grace to be able to come into these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you're welcome in Jesus' name. You know, I once shared here recently, I said, attention is currency, right? So I now realize that more than attention is attention to detail. So that's another one for you. That's the difference between a fashion designer that can charge $200,000 for one design or for one clothes she makes, and one who cannot charge more than 6,000 naira, like the one behind my house. So let's look at the word of God. First, I want us to consider Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Now, I want you to follow me very closely. I will try to be very fast. In fact, I will do my best not to step down from this altar. So help me God. So that we can make a lot of progress. But I want you to stay with me. We've been having a lot of emphasis on the issue of righteousness, deliverance from sin and patterns. And we thank God for the revival we are experiencing. And one of the things that victory over sin or sinful life we give to you is that it will release strength, divine strength into your life. So let's look at that scripture, then we kick it off from there. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. Do we have it? It says, if thou fail in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Is what? So, which means that this is a reality. So, please, let us start our journey from here. Now, you may find yourself watching videos on Instagram or on YouTube, and you see people who suggest that it is, they are not saying it directly, but they seem to be suggestive of the fact that it is normal to be spiritually weak. All right? And they are doing it hiding under the covering of what Jesus did. But you see, when Jesus walked the earth, he was not weak. In fact, there are certain parameters, but not in this meeting, that I can look at and I can tell you that at this level, within a certain time space, if you are a Christian at this level, you will fall into sin grievously. For instance, if you are living in unforgiveness or you are living in what I call holy malice. Holy malice. So two Christians are not really talking to each other, but they have a Christian way of looking at it. Are you familiar with that kind of thing? Eh? Church is quiet. Oh. I said two people are no longer talking. They're having issues. But they have a Christian way of looking at the disagreement. So they even have Bible verses. They even have scriptures on if they cannot be, let them. If the woman can no longer say, let us separate. So they have scriptures. So, but what I will tell you is that I can give you a time frame in which, if you continue like that, you will run into serious problems. Because over time, sin matures. You will become extremely good at living your life like that. Because the first time you did it, nothing happened. Second time you did it, there was no risk. The third time you did it, you are fine. Then one day you are going to get married and you will do it to your husband and he kicks you out. Or you do it to your wife and she throws you out. Alright? So sin matures. One of the dangerous aspect of sin is that it matures quietly. So you will never, for the greater part of whatever it is you are doing, you may not even see any direct consequence until a certain time when you can no longer control it. You will now find that actually the devil has been playing you all along. Please, let's put up that scripture. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Which suggests to us that this is a possibility. It's very possible for Satan to keep badgering you and battling and hitting you on a particular spot until you begin to show sign of weakness. And when you begin to show sign of weakness, Satan will see it. Which means if Satan tries you at a level and he sees that every time he tried you there, you didn't fall, he will step it up. Don't expect Satan to wait at the same level, playing the game like a fool. He's not a fool. That's why there are some temptations you don't experience again. You agree with me? You used to have them like 6-10 years ago, but right now you don't have those type of problems. That's because Satan is the AI of Satan is also evolving. All right, it's like an AI, so it keeps evolving. At some point, it's not going to continue pushing certain temptations to you because it knows you are already spiritually smarter. All right, you are spiritually smarter. So that being said, it is that scripture in Proverbs chapter 24 also suggests to us that all Christians are not at the same level of strength. Are we together? Please, I hope you are writing and taking notes, because this is also a deception. For you to think you will remember, you will not remember what I said until you are in trouble. All right, every Christian will not be at the same level of spiritual strength. However, the scripture also suggests that the point you fail at is your current level of strength. All right, so this is where we're going to start from. So this means that I can grow in my spiritual strength. There are Christians who pray and fast 21 days, 40 days. You know, like we are going to be starting our fasting 6th of July. I hope you know there are people amongst us here, personally, they fasted 30 days, right? If you fasted 30 days this year, or 20 days, or 20, please wave to me. God bless you. You see, there are people here that have waited upon the Lord, not public announcement. They just wanted to, you know, sort out certain things. But I hope you know that the purpose of your waiting upon him will determine what will be allocated to you. Which means you can wait on the Lord for 1 month, but not accumulate strength, because that's not why you are waiting on him. You might be trying to solve a problem. You might be waiting upon him because you needed wisdom for a particular matter. And that will be what God will give to you, because that's why you are praying, not because you wanted to grow spiritually. So it could be a deception if you are not careful, where you just feel that, oh, because I fasted 2 months ago, I waited on the Lord for 30 days or 40 days, you just feel, okay, that's fine. No, yeah, that's fine for what you are fasting for, but it may not be convenient or suitable for what we are waiting upon the Lord for. All right, so please, the first thing we need to know here is that it is possible that we all cannot be at the same level of strength. So the moment you know this, you need to be humble enough to admit that certain people amongst us may be spiritually stronger. All right? And sometimes I find that if you don't find your own reason for wanting to be strong, you will never grow spiritually. I repeat, if you don't find your own reason for wanting to be strong spiritually, you will never grow spiritually. The second thing I want to share with us very quickly before I go into the benefits of waiting on the Lord is that while you are seeking the Lord, you must understand that it is ultimately Christ that strengthens you. The scripture says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. We are not drawing our strength from the wisdom of men. We are not drawing our strength from our knowledge of a particular system, economy, business, connections. We know that our connections can fail if Christ does not strengthen us. Now, the idea of strength, you know, when you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, if you have that scripture, I would like you to put it up. And I want you to see, maybe you give us, maybe Amplified or another nice version. But you see, I have strength for all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens. Do you see the word strengthens there? It's not strengthened. It strengthens. Which means it continues to happen. Are we together? God continues to strengthen us. When he sees a gap between what we are having to deal with and our current level of strength, then he begins to fill that gap to strengthen us. So when you read the scriptures, David was saying that we should bless the Lord who daily loads us with benefit. One of the benefits there is strength. Strength for the day. Strength for the day. The what you needed for yesterday is not what you need for today, because there are two different days. And today might have been a very quiet day. Tomorrow before 6 a.m., people are calling you. You almost sometimes, have you ever left the house and you forgot your bag or your phone because of the urgency? Huh? So you don't know what manner of day it will be. So it is Christ who strengthens me for each day. All right? You need to have this revelation. If not, by the time you wake up in the morning and you find yourself having a very bad day, you may fall into despair. You may become discouraged. You become very cranky. But the next time you find yourself having you wake up tomorrow and your day started at 3 a.m. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't start at 8. It started at 3. That means it started before it started. Remember that it is Christ who strengthens me. So you have to personalize. It's a personal revelation. So what do you do when you find yourself in that situation? Slow down and pray. When you find that your day is becoming too fast and you're having deadlines, that's the day it rains suddenly. That is the day a broken vehicle, a car just breaks down and you are looking at your house, you can't go in, you know. You thought you turned off the gas. So you got to the church only to realize that I'm not sure. So now you have to rush back home through the traffic, only to realize you actually turned off the gas. Now you have to come back to church again. So that happened to us a few weeks ago. All right, so it was impalatable. And then we'll go back. Like, I didn't even know who to be angry at. Like, I didn't know what to do. It was very frustrating. So you can't control all the narratives. That's why I'm telling you that when you find yourself tomorrow going through things like this, slow down and what? And what? Ah, yes. So it is Christ who strengthens us. This is very important. You see, some of these things, they look or sound very simple, but these are the things that are deliberately put in the scriptures because they are your strength. The scripture says in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Very quickly, before we jump into the seven benefits of waiting upon the Lord. Okay, give me King James here. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is what? I want you to personalize. The joy of the Lord is what? See, I'm showing you all this scripture because some of you are wondering why you are having all these problems you are having. God already knew. So look at all the scriptures I've been showing you, pointing to the fact that there is a provision from heaven for your strength. Hallelujah. I want you to declare there's a provision from heaven for my strength. I want you to prophesy again and say there's a provision from heaven. I want you to declare God has made a location for my strength in Jesus' mighty name. So you need to know this. Sometimes you may need to turn on your computer in the morning, type it on a Word document, do color print if you can afford it. Don't worry about having a good frame. Just type it on Word document. You spend more time at the bathroom, so paste it at the door. As you are going in, look at it and tell yourself that God said, enjoy, eat, drink, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So put it there. When you come into your house in the evening, you like to shut the door behind you. So you see that the other side of the door, which is in your parlor, put something there. Someone will come to us and say, why are you just messing around? Say, don't worry. You can do what you like in your house. For me, I need to be reminded. Because it's easy to forget. I need to be reminded that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because you can wake up one morning, all of a sudden, just wondering, it's like everybody has forgotten me. That's what it, when they say someone is dead, what it actually means is that nobody thinks about the person again. So you can die at 35, but be buried at 75. Because nobody remembers you. Nobody thinks you are worth thinking about or spending their time with. All right? So the joy of the Lord is your strength. There are still some few scriptures. Maybe if we come on Sunday, I feel in my heart that we may need to talk about this issue of the joy of the Lord and strength because a lot of people don't know. You are praying for what God has already made provision for. So let's read Isaiah chapter 40. And we are going to read from, because of time, maybe 29. Okay, let's take 28. Isaiah chapter 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is he weary. You see, that word weary means that he is not subject to the law of time like we are. So when God says, I will make you strong, I am the Lord that strengthens you, it's because he knows no matter who you are, you will be subject to that time. Evangelist Shola Oki, you remember him? He was here for anniversary. I was with him like 3 weeks ago somewhere at Ogba. He came to Lagos, so I went to see him. He was now asking me like, do you still do everlasting counseling? I say, me. That's where I believe. I say, me. I did like this. I say, me, pastor. I say, I've changed. He said, good. You must stop it. You must stop it. He said, he now said to me, he said, most of the, go and check. You are always counseling the same people. I say, yes. He now mentioned one of our fathers in the faith. if I'm everybody like knows him, this is a father in, as far as Nigeria is concerned. And he said to me, do you know that he's just in his early 70s? And he said, do I know that the doctors recently told him not to preach again? If not, he will be dead. See, the strength. He has used his body to serve the Lord. Now, he's not even allowed to preach in his own church on Sunday. He only comes. In fact, he said at some point he was confined to bed rest. So he was telling me, you have to know yourself. The grace that is given to Bishop Oyedepo is not from this planet. So if you want to be the El Shaddai, then you shall die. You must know what is given to you and stop trying to be a hero. Say you must cancel everybody. Say that was now the man has been confined to the bed. People come to the house, they have to talk to the wife. So if you don't like the wife, well, good luck to you, because that man is on his bed and the doctor said you must not come out of that room. So what is he doing? He spends his time in the room praying, just enjoying the presence of God. What he has not been able to do for a while. So God is happy. He is happy. You know, the church members are not happy. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So well, that was some fatherly counsel anyway. But me, I already caught the prophecy like 3 weeks ahead. So some people think they can come in through the back door to not work. So let's look at... All right. So please put up that scripture. Let's read the entire thing. He said, there is no searching of his understanding. Next verse. For he giveth power. You see, you can't give what you don't have. He giveth power to the faint. Who is a faint man? Huh? How do you describe someone that is fainting? Huh? Do you know that when someone passes out, it's because there's a lack of strength? Huh? Have you seen someone faint before? And as you screamed and shook them, they were too tired to open their eyes, their eyelids. Huh? Some of you went to, you know, local intelligence. You went to your kitchen, got a very big spoon, and you tried to keep the... If the brother will die, he will die. It's not that one. Thank God for that native intelligence. But if what is wrong with him has nothing to do with his mouth, I really don't know what that is going to do for you. All right? So, but, yeah. Sometimes you can be too tired. Have you been too tired to open your eyes before? But you are awake. Eh? Have you ever been in your room? You just laid on the floor or on the rug and you just shut your eyes. Like there was a peace you felt. When you just shut your eyes, everywhere was dark, but you just loved it. Eh? Okay, let me take this one now. How many of you like bright lights in your house? Then after a while you started liking dark. When I first got married, you know, when you marry, you now know who you married. You understand? Before that, you are deceiving yourself. Because everybody is trying to put his best foot forward. She will never tell you that she has slapped a Mopo officer before. She will never tell you until the day you have just one bathroom and you want to, like, come out now, come out now. She just going to say, what's your problem? Why are you, Like, she asked me what my problem is. Like the shock, like, I don't try that. I take my time. If you want to wake, if you want, you wake up early. I the shock, you can't even call me, the pastor, because you are shocked. You are in a state of shock. That shock may take another 3 weeks before you're able to talk about it. So when I got married, I didn't know that my wife didn't like having the lights on. There's light too. You know, then we didn't have band A. So the possibility of not even having light was more than you coming home and meeting light. So if there's light, let's see the light now. You understand? Turn on the bulb. I was like, what was this story? She starts turning off every time. I say, look, madam, I'm a child of light. That used to be my response. So, like way back, like, I'm a child of light. Anywhere I am, there must be light around me. She looked at me that, no, I like, you know, everywhere is like calm. And I said, what is calm? I will even add more bulbs to this. So about, you know, recently we are like maybe like for like a year now. Anytime we are somewhere in the parlor, like I just like all the lights off. Now. Then she wants the lights on. So it's like we changed our bodies. So sometimes I'm in the parlor. I don't want to see any, like, talk. Even ask myself, I say, please turn off the light, turn off the light. It's 8 p.m. I say, turn off the light. If you see the light on, maybe we have a guest. And I'm waiting for the guest to go so I can turn off the light. You know, so we used to tease ourselves and say, like, ah, so what happened? Like, what happened? Like, Omo, it took 15 years, oh, Omo, but the thing switched. I would have sweared on Umila that it can't happen. If they take me to the shrine, I will swear that thing can never come. I'm a child of light. But now it's like I'm a child of... Let me not say the other one. It's like I'm a child of something else. Because now anywhere I go, I mean, no, I don't want the light piercing my eyes. You never go to Dubai, light don't enter your eye. So don't be so much in a hurry. Some of you now you are going about saying it's not about fasting or prayer. 15 years from now, you'll be a champion of fasting and prayer. So don't worry. Who will be alive will wait for you. Amen. All right. So our God is not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. That's what brought me to that story. Because sometimes you are just too tired. You've had a very tough day. You just want to shut your eyes. I watched a movie. The girl puts like this, what do you call that thing now? I don't use it. I may never use it. So whatever it is, she just put it over her eyes. And she was just, ah, God, this is so relieving. The eyes are tired. But God gives power to the faint. And to them that have no understanding, he increases strength. Now, he takes it a step further and tells us that even the youth are those who are associated with having strength. Strength, they have time, they have age, they have the capacity on their side. But God says, look, even those young guys, they're going to be tired. Which means one of the ideas about strength is that you don't get tired. You know? So they'll get tired, the young men shall utterly fall. Say, but they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And if you have your Bible, you can underline the word renew. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So let's look at the seven benefits very quickly of waiting upon the Lord. The first one that seems to be very obvious here, and this message is a summary, is that they will renew their strength. What this means is that no matter how powerful you are, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your personal life or your marriage or your finance, you will get tired. Those things might be put into your life by God. But because these are systems that you are engaging with, naturally, fatigue will set in. And most of us are not our best when we are tired. How many of you get cranky when you are fatigued? I'm the only one. So this is my own way of, look, I just when you start talking to me, and I think you are not making sense to yourself, not to me, like you are not even making sense to yourself, I'll just stare at you. You still keep talking. That's my cue of telling you, you better leave this place now before I say something. Like, just leave, because I'm fatigued and you can't even see it. So I don't discuss destiny, life-altering decisions. I don't make life-altering decisions at night. All right? Pastor, should I break my leg or not? You want to break your leg? If you ask me that question at night, I will tell you, break it. If you ask me there, I'll say, ah, why now? What's up? Well, talk to me. What's up? I can hear you now. But if you, Pastor, should I marry him or not? I say, who is he? Say, he's a goat. Marry him. But that's at night too. If you ask me that same question, I'll say, ah, why? Where is he from? Tell him to come see me. So I just fired two warning shots to Iran right now. And this is me telling everybody who likes to talk at night that that's not me. Don't call me in the middle of the night except you want to gist. If it's to discuss destiny, something that can affect your destiny, don't discuss it at night. You are talking to the wrong person. Can talk to my wife. She's a, what do you call those people who are more active at night? So you can talk to her. She's your sure plug. But me, I'm not sure. So we talk about renewing your strength. You can be tired even from doing God's work. That's why in this church, no pastor has a permanent shirt. Like, oh, because you are judging your culture, you are going, no, if you don't come, if you are not fit, sit down. Don't come and break your leg. You can take a break for a day. You can allow others preach. All right? Allow yourself to be ministered to. You know, so recently, okay, so the church I went to preach at over the weekend, after the one of the final sessions, so it was a 2.5 day session, 2.5 day program, 3 days program, but 2.5 sessions, and I was preaching for like 2-3 hours. So that means for the 4 sessions, I was doing 12 hours. But they had just 2.5. No. They had 2 sessions per day. 1, 2. They had 4 sessions, so that's like 4 hours. All right, that's minus prophesying and meaning just preaching. But they did something after the final session. They said, "Can we stretch our hands and pray for God's servant that God will replenish him?" Those are the prayers our fathers that made our parents last. You know, but today now people just clap for the pastor. After that, you can go and die if you like. Don't, if you like, die. If you like, survive. You know, but those are things we should not completely lose. Because when somebody ministers to you, the script, you say, virtue has gone out. Somebody touched Jesus and Jesus froze because he said power left him. He was keeping that power for the dead child. And one woman used her faith to take it. Peter was with him. Peter couldn't take it. John was there. So you see that if you want to talk about to connect with power, especially in the life of a man of God, the first ingredient is faith. You see? So, but because the woman was grateful, Jesus was replenished. So that's another subject. So this issue of renewing your strength, God wants you to know that you can be tired. Even when you are doing something that is legitimate, something he has asked you to do, you can be tired. And you must not, don't be a hero. Don't be 40 years and all your hair is just gray and you think it's because you are serving God. No, you need to, you are short of major vitamins and you need to take a break. Because the truth is many of us are working too hard. So I was talking to somebody sometime, I won't say where, most likely in this church. I think the person must be somewhere in this church. But I was talking to somebody in this church, like, I can't go back to school. Pastor, where will I start from? I said, okay. Please help me pack my things. I'm going home. Because I don't know why I'm wasting my time with you. You know what I do every day? Most senior pastors don't combine anything with what they do. Not to talk of overseeing 4 churches. I only know my closing, my opening, the time I resume, which many times is not the time I resume. A very good, in the last, let's just say like this here, a good closing time for me is around 2 a.m. And it doesn't mean I'm praying. All right? And please don't call me at 2 a.m., please. I'm just telling you. But if you put that one aside, I have other things I do. Because like Paul said, I don't want to be a burden to any. I have other things I do to my life. I find it extremely difficult to shut my eyes for 30 minutes. I just have palpitation, like somebody's looking for me. Somebody's looking. I remember last night, Pastor Tokwe, that there's a lady I promised I'll call back in Australia 2 months ago. And she said, thank you, sir. I remember yesterday I didn't call the person back. 2 months ago. And I just said, this girl must, she and her husband, they must feel very bad. But you know, if God calls an ajebota, it's different from when he calls an ajepaki. He goes, I'm an ajebota. So it's not, forget about the pictures you see online. Amen. I don't like stress. You understand? I don't like stress. I love this off life. I love Dubai. You understand? I love Dubai. I love the Burj Khalifa. I love to live in that place. Like, I have an apartment there. I love it. All this thing about pastor rest. If I'm there, nobody will need to tell me to rest. Just watch the ocean. Amen. But, I mean, it's the reality. Renewing your strength is one of the blessedness of waiting upon the Lord. And let me define what I mean by waiting upon the Lord. First, you must consider scriptural context. Number one, Moses went before the Lord for about a month or 40 days, and he came back with the law. All right? But it was with the Lord, without the concern of what was going on with the people, even though he was there for them, but he was waiting upon the Lord and just seeking him. You know, so when I talk about waiting upon the Lord, I'm talking about a lone time, a lone moment where you are able to. Did I see Pastor David somewhere? Okay. So a lone moment. All right. That's what with the context of Moses. When I speak about waiting upon the Lord, I'm also talking about Jesus. After being baptized by John, going into the wilderness alone, no PA. Do you know Jesus could have ordered John, follow me? And John will leave all those people. They don't even believe, sir. Leave them, because they will soon crucify their Lord. So you follow me. It's like your own destiny is bright. Jesus could have gone with John the Baptist, and they'll be sharing fellowship, looking at what the Lord is saying about his future ministry. Do you understand? Jesus didn't. He didn't do that. 40 days alone. Do you know that there is power in being alone? I'm not talking about you are praying every time. Like, just sitting alone. Like, nobody can reach you. You are not reaching anybody. And you are just there enjoying God's presence. Sometimes with your shekere. Just singing, dancing. Sometimes you just go on YouTube, look for those old songs. Huh? All those songs that we used to enjoy. Just play, listen. No, but if you like, call from today. If don't, call God. Uh-huh. So you see. The moment I say call God, hallelujah. You see, I'm a prophet. You people don't used to appreciate me. You don't appreciate me in this church. I'm a prophet too. I said, call God, and the phone rang. Amen. So you need, there's a context when I say wait upon the Lord. I mean spending time with the Lord. Then when I say waiting upon the Lord, I also use the context of Daniel, who was under pressure after the law was passed. And the first thing he did was to go and pray. That is a context for me when I say waiting upon the Lord. Finally, in Acts chapter 13, when the disciples gathered, there were some prophets and teachers, and as they waited, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost spoke. That is also another context for waiting upon the Lord. Number two. So when the scripture says they shall renew their strength, that already addresses the possibility that you can be tired, even if you are doing God's will. You can be tired, and there's something that goes with tiredness: poor decision making. Do you agree with me? When you are tired, you make poor decisions. Not necessarily wrong, but poor. You don't negotiate properly. Number two, the scripture says, excuse me, it said they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, this is very interesting to me, because this speaks of the ability to mount up.
It means you have the ability to go against the force of gravity.
Is that not so?
You know what it means to mount up, to climb up. You climb, it's like as though the air is a ladder.
Hello, are you here?
It's as though the air is a ladder. The eagle mounts up. It uses the opposition as a ladder and it goes higher. All right? Then he talks about agility. So when you are looking at the life of the eagle, it says you what? It says you will mount up with wings. That means you have the agility of the eagle. So why the cheetah may be the fastest prey on land, but the most powerful prey in the air is the eagle. Not the fastest, but with the most lethal instinct. And science also tells us that the eagle has strong mathematical skills. So they are able to look from their position and calculate how long it will take them to get to where the prey is. And they'll pick it up. And they do that with such precision that even the prey is not aware that it's being targeted until the eagle comes very close and it's too late to run away or fight back. The eagle, if it picks up a very large serpent like a python, it takes it into the air. And the python will begin to bite or the snake begins to sting. The feet seems to be insulated. The claws of the eagle seems to be insulated from poison. And you see, the eagle is one of the animals with which a Christian is referred to in the scripture. It takes the serpent into the air until it can no longer breathe. And how do we do that? Through our worship. That is why I will never back down. I believe that Satan is on a personal mission to destroy the worship culture in the body of Christ. And he does it through other Christian songs that are not from him. But if you just want to assess what a spirit-filled song is based on lyrics, you may not understand what I'm saying. If my brother at the back was a musician, but he, like spirit-filled, if Alfred was a musician, but he doesn't sing Christian songs, let's say he sings philosophical songs or love songs, but because he's spirit-filled, his songs will be backed by the primary spirit in his own life. That song, even though it's just a love song, maybe he has a band, people invite him to play at marriages and weddings. He will sing normal wedding songs, right? But when you listen to him, that song will not have the power to contaminate you because of the spirit, the primary spirit in his life, which is the Holy Spirit. But you may go to the same wedding and have another band guy, you know, do what he does, and you just begin to feel very wayward. It's a wedding, you know, but you start feeling very wayward. Nobody's asking you to be wayward, but it's the primary spirit is flowing through the strings, and you find yourself there. So the eagle has what? Three things: strength, agility, and sight. So when the eagle waits upon the Lord, he comes back with three things. Number one, say speed, agility, and what? And sight. When the eagle gets to a certain age, his vision becomes very poor. It becomes extremely heavy. He can't soar the way it would normally. Then he starts making mistakes. So have you seen movies or no? Like some of these Animal Planet videos where the eagle tries to pick up an animal, then it misses, you know, or it tumbles. So that's when the eagle does that like a few times. Yeah, I say, Ale Marakatose failure. It's time to go on a retreat. Let me rephrase it for you. Let's assume the Lord has sent you to the world of business, and something that always worked for you, something that always worked for you, then you did it first and you failed. Something that if you would tell the client, they would just say, yeah, take the contract. First time, second time, third time. Then I say, please, we want to have a get together. So we old friends from, I beg, I know they do. Pack your Bible, pack your jotters. What else do you pack? Your pen, because your Bible can fail. Pack everything. Pack messages. Pack this one that you are even hearing now. Pack data, everything. Come to church. Say, Pastor, please. I want to say, Wednesday, no service, Thursday, Friday. I will be coming 8 a.m. and closing 6 p.m. Huh? You lock yourself. When you enter, lock the door. Shut up. You pray. Where is he? Say, it's supposed to be at the beach. I don't know what's wrong with him. It's not very, it's a sociologist, but it's not social. Forget that thing. See, I'm telling you how to apply this thing. There is a wisdom that God has given you for your business. The moment you begin to notice that your cutting edge is not sharp, pull back. Don't force anything to happen. And that's what the ego does. It pulls back. And then, this is the second point too. I hope you are following. So he pulls back and he gathers food. Anything he has in the bank account. Are we together? Whatever he has with him that day, in terms of resources, food, spiritual food, whatever, he tells the wife, take care of children, I'm coming. He retreats. He goes up on a very high mountain where nobody can find him and begins to wait upon the Lord. All right? He gets there with singing, because most people just want to pray, but sometimes God wants to hear your voice. All right? So you can start your waiting upon him by just singing. Some of you are too much in order to talk. Just settle down. Sing. You are the beginning. You are the ending. You are the almighty God of all. There's no rush. As you are singing, you are cleaning the area where you are going to spend the next 5 days. Saving the perishing. Healing the... You are just enjoying. The retreat has started. You are just keeping everywhere clean because the Lord your God is holy. Don't that your room that is always upside down. You now see why they are always pressing you there, because you have clothes here. You have clothes four corners of the room, hung everywhere. If you go and remove that thing you put there, amen. You just put clothes here. You hang everything hangable. They even put your shoes on top of the suit. Yeah, like God said, please. I think when I come now, I'll be staying in your parlor. There's no oxygen here. Amen. All right? So you just want to go, clean up and do a lot of stuff. Why? Because after eating, that's all the ego does. It feeds. It feeds. It goes in with his job. I've always asked a question. What if John didn't go to Patmos with writing materials? How much do you think you can remember in 22 chapters? You just don't know when God is going to show up. All right? So you need to prepare. You come back. And one of the signs I don't know, but I've seen this a lot in my life. And I want you to check it if this has happened to you. The moment I begin to touch God, when I'm waiting on him, the first thing I notice is that my prophetic instincts start becoming very sharp. So it suggests to me that gift in your life will start responding. It's like the battery is getting charged now. You understand? All of a sudden, I can see far into the spirit. Initially, I just observe it's getting blurry, blurry. So I know it's time for a retreat. You must know the indicators that tell you that it is time for a retreat. If you don't know it, you will be long dead. And a dead battery is not useful to the owner, it's not useful to the whoever. You are cut off. It's just like having a phone it's one thing not to have network, it's another thing not to have battery power. So this is actually a benefit. When you wait upon the Lord, the Lord will begin to infuse strength. You start becoming strong. How many of you notice that sometimes when you're waiting upon the Lord, you may initially struggle. You want to pray for 30 minutes. You are struggling. But by the second day, your body has adjusted. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Amen. Then you sleep, wake up, you go again. So it gets better. Please tell your neighbor it gets better. So this is a major advantage, because you are nothing without strength. Yes. There are a lot of people online preaching nice things. Meanwhile, Satan has finished them. You are nothing without strength. You can preach flowery words and say what you like. Do you know that in the spirit realm, everybody knows everybody's battery level? So who are you deceiving? If you preach something and 50,000 people like it, shouldn't you be concerned? I'm not saying 50,000 people can't like what you preach. I'm just saying, sir, that thing you that people are liking, I hope it's not compromised. So let's look at it again. I hope it's not compromised. It's not like you are giving people a leeway to sin. That's why people are liking it. Somebody posted on Facebook, say, men should have more than one wife. And before anybody say, I am an apostle. There's nowhere in the Bible that says a man should not have, that will marry all these women. Come and see comment. Finally, a pastor that preaches the truth. Somebody said, I have only said it. One Muslim posted, finally, Christians and Muslims will finally be one. Because of what an apostle said, I say, see what love. When the apostle and the Muslim, they are confused. There are some things you should not even bring to Facebook, even if you have a tear. Because I understand where the bishop, that apostle is coming from, but I'm just like, you know, come and see, nobody opposed the man. People have been waiting. The day God will just say, my people from today, you pastors will be the ones at court? The one at Ikoyi. They will say there's queue. Falomo. The first 500 people on queue, they are all pastors. Because God said that you can write. The pastor has been waiting. When are the pastors now free? That's why in your mojo. We are done, though, so we should start. You should start marry second and third wife. But I trust my president. Amen. The more people start to do any, dollar will become 2,000. Everybody will just pack well, pack well, pack well. Because you need money to make a woman happy. Amen. So you better be careful. Just manage yourself first before you manage a woman. Not to talk of two women. Number three. The scripture tells us about, refers to Satan as being the prince of the power of the air. Do you remember when Paul was speaking, writing, well, he said Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But you see, this ego seems to have gained mastery over the air. When you are dealing with powers that are in the air, you cannot defeat them back to back. If you are not someone that waits on the Lord all the time or regularly, yes, take it anywhere. If you are someone that only comes to God, when you have problems, you can only survive for as long as you'll be lucky. I hope you know that spiritual warfare at this level also includes words that are spoken. I hope you know witchcraft is the use of words. Witchcraft operates by words. That is why anybody, including a Christian, can practice witchcraft and you are born again, because it is a work of the flesh. When you speak out of anger and you say, you release curses, it is witchcraft. So don't look for the witch in Mende or anywhere. There's a list and your name is number one. You understand? Because people don't know. And when the rewards of witchcraft come, it comes back like pins, thousands of pins being shot at your chest. Then you now, it comes back as sickness. Sometimes you say you're having chest pain and all. People don't remember that some of these words. Sometimes it's not that you are saying these words, but you live in an environment where those type of words are flying around. When I was in the barracks in those days, nobody greeted with good morning. What you hear is your pa. Your pa is, that's your papa. Like, you know, go better. For, that, like, that's good morning. Then you say your ma. That thing is sweeter in Pastor Desmond's mouth. Like, you know what it means to wake up where Even when you are all trekking to school, demonstration. You understand? When you were like all of you are just talking rubbish and cursing each other. Nobody ever thought it was anything. Fast forward to 15 years. So when you are dealing with the power of the air, the only way man engages with the spiritual realm is through words. So even if it's a joke, don't let anybody, like at the office, tell you that, you know you are not, you can't handle it. You know you can't. No, that's warfare. That's witchcraft. Don't accept it. Reject it immediately. Because the moment words are spoken, they begin to look for resting places. So when we are talking about one of the benefits of what? Of waiting upon the Lord, you gain power over the air. How many of you know that when we talk about the radio, DSTV, we talk about air, wavelength. It's in the air. There's element of evil in this air. So you can preach and pray and do whatever you like. Satan will not allow you trend. Hey! Did you hear what I said? You can never go on YouTube and check those who are trending the most. They are not Christians. They are not Christians. Why will Satan let you trend? God must be on your side for you to trend. I know many pastors who are online sincerely doing the work of God, Facebook Live and all of that. Some may God help every genuine pastor. You know, it's not easy. One pastor was sincerely just praying and teaching the word late in the night. I don't know what I did. I mistakenly turned on Facebook on my app. So the live stream just came up. So and I noticed the moment I stared at it for like 10 seconds, it now showed one watching. That's me. So the moment the man saw that I was the one there, and I said, like I was saying. So he didn't want me to lose the blessing of what he already shared. And I felt for him. I had to stay to hear. Because he had been teaching that thing, but he was also seeing that nobody was here. But if he had said something very important, so the moment I came in, he had to go back to so I could be. And I waited. Then after a few minutes, I said, "Sorry, I'm good. I just came here, but I'm on my way to bed." You know. You must understand the power of the air. That if you are doing anything and you want it to gain traction, you want the airwaves to push it, you must understand how to crack the airwaves. And one of it is by staying with the Lord. The scripture says that after Jesus had fasted and prayed for 40 days, the Bible says his fame spread across the city. He did not preach one message. His fame was being anywhere. There's one man. I'm saying that you will see this sign in your life. You will see it in your business. You will see it around you. The problem is that what God refers to as the requirement are the things we don't want to do. But let me ask you a question. You were in university for 4 or 5 years. Did you enjoy it? So why not start now and begin to build a systemic pattern of waiting with the Lord? And let me tell you, at some point you will need to cut down on certain things because God will ask for more time. Let's move on into roundup. So I've mentioned three. I said number one, we need to renew our strength. Number two, you have strength, agility, and sight of the eagle. And this area of the sight is so important because it's not just about seeing, it's about seeing far. About 3 years ago, I was invited to one organization. I won't say where. I was invited to attend one event at a particular organization. The moment I walked into the event hall, the moment I walked in, I flew to that city. The moment I walked into that auditorium where they were holding that meeting, I said, the glory is no longer here. years ago, or 3.5 years, I just like, there are cracks. I saw cracks in the all they used for that particular, that organization used for their. So in other words, even for your business to do well, there's an attending glory that must follow it. There must be a recognition that allows you certain leeway to succeed. And that is why some people, some things I cannot say. Let me just skip this one. Because if I say it now, it will be shots fired. But I'm trying to actually help someone. 3.5 years, I was there. And I had to tell them I couldn't wait. I was supposed to be there for a week. I just, after 2 days, I can't wait here. Because when I looked at the president of that place that brought me, it was not somebody that I could talk to. You brought me here, but because of the event and the fairity of the old, this, he didn't really have time, and I didn't really think. Because when I looked at him, I saw that his heart was not also in the right place. So I just said, there's no point. The Lord will be helping people. I checked out of the hotel. What did I say? I got an emergency. And I had an emergency. The emergency is for me to go and spend time with my family. So I went home. Then recently, they started seeing the cracks. The organization is fractured now. All right? But that thing, I saw it 3 years. Not, I wasn't trying to see anything. I just walked in and I noticed, no, something is missing here. Then I started investigating where they put me, and I saw it. But nobody was seen. So even if I had come out there to say, thus hear the Lord, as the Asian prophet from the land of Mahogany, the Lord said, nobody will listen to me because most people did not see it. That's the strength of sight. You can see something 3 years ago. This lady, watch her. This one, watch her. But nobody is seeing it. But because the Lord is giving you a premonition, you can act on it and protect yourself. But you see that level of sight? It's the same type of sight where Paul and his friend Barnabas had to wait on the Lord for days before God would say, separate. So if Paul only came on the last day, there will be no voice. You needed to stay long enough for your sight to be strengthened to see that your journey is with Barnabas, not with Steve. Your journey is with Barnabas, not with Michael. Your journey is with this person, not with that. It's very easy for anybody to just look at me now and say, I like this person. You don't know what you are liking, because you need to know where I'm coming from. You need to know where I'm coming from. So I actually got to that point where, for me, I was not really looking for a future again. I just wanted to be able to eat. Yes. So it's easy for anybody to, don't just leave me, let me enjoy my life, because I've suffered. So you to go and queue. And when is your turn, we'll call you. So you have sight, and you need sight. You need sight. You need it. You need it. Eh? You need it. You need it. You can't escape. The moment your enemy knows you are spiritually blind, he knows where to catch you. Somebody came to me in the office. A brother came into the office. This was like a few weeks ago. When he came into the office, he's a stranger. Came in. I told him, I said, sit down. He was still trying to talk. And I told him, what were you doing at Pedro? I mentioned this area. I said, Pedro. Then I mentioned the area in Pedro. Then I mentioned the name of the person and the age of the person. The brother did not answer. He ran out of the office, and somebody caught him here and said, let not be that he stabbed the pastor and he's running. What was it? They caught him and said, hey. Then the person people, I said, I'm okay, I'm here. They say, who are you? Who are you? He started screaming. He said, who are you? Why? I said, who are you? What? What's your problem? He said, And I told him, what you went to do there has been recorded. And I said, this is what you did. He said, He said, please help me. I said, funny enough, can I just shock you? That's the kind of day you just say, oh, Jano.
I don't know how to interpret that one now. When Yoruba people say Jano, like home run, like that day, you just, it was just that God said, Ronaldo will score. No, not Ronaldo. Give me a very poor player. Eh? Maguire. Maguire, yeah. Danny Lunes. Just that day, God says, one mistake will happen and he will score. And a goal is a goal, is that not so? Nobody will say he's a defender, he's a keeper. In fact, if it's the keeper that scored, your own career is over because keeper left his duty and came to, no, you will never make it again. That shame will go with you. There was a time in our days, Escobar, there was one guy, Escobar. What did he do then? He scored an own goal. See, only God knows where that brother is now, but we are still mentioning his name. He's dead though, and I remembered him this evening. Who else has scored an own goal before? Messi. Okay, wait. But he scored his team. Eh? He scored against his... I'm talking about own goal. There's one other guy now. Some of these... It's an, not this recent guy. So they are, the pictures in my head are for these older guys. You said? Cannavaro. Is that so? So... Okay, this is not a football match. This is not a football game. It's not an analysis anyway. But I'm just trying to tell you that... Let me tell you. If you refuse to grow in strength, you can make mistakes that will cost you your destiny. People will keep referring to that thing. As Ronaldo played very stupid free kicks before. Uh-huh. Who amongst you or anyone in Europe has the right to say, Ronaldo is a... See, let me tell you, Togo Bawa Nwaye, if the glory of God is in your life, you, even when you want to say, sir, you cannot comment because this man is a star. He's a star. It happens to anybody. That's why the guy doesn't bother when he misses anything. He moves on. But you know if you make that mistake, your career is over. So we are talking about agility, we are talking about sight and strength, talk about power over the air. And let me merge two together. Speed, power over willingness. You know, in that scripture, it was saying that they shall run and they will not be weary. You know, this is talking about power over weariness. By the time most people are tired, you are just starting. You know, spiritually. And sometimes Satan, Pastor David, sometimes Satan targets believers not when they are strong. He allows them wear out. He allows them wear out. You've been praying for 7 days, 14 days, and you just, and that's what I always tell people. Know yourself. Was it Confucius that said, know thyself? Because somebody waited on the Lord for 40 days. And he came down from the mountain only to go and fornicate. Hello? Know yourself. There's a pastor, there's a law in their church, and I'm thinking of adopting that law here. The moment he's done preaching, no lady... Because they're in that church, they love themselves. No lady is permitted to hug him, whether to receive the anointing. Oh, pastor, how was your trip? Nothing like that. Don't touch him. Because the pastor told his call leaders that when I am just done ministering and I am the anointing lifts from me and I am becoming a man again, it's my most vulnerable soul, and nobody should hug me. Except my wife. So you might not understand, but that's why others are falling. But this one has been doing it and God has been protecting him. But my father in the Lord, Dr. Pastor E. Adibwe, said he does not, no matter how much you are stranded, he doesn't pick up women in his car. He would rather give you transport fare. Be wise. Because there are things that can weary your soul. Know yourself. If you know that 40 days and above makes you so weak that you cannot even resist one ant, stop at 39 days. Rest for 1 week, then continue again. Are we together? Know yourself. He said they shall renew their strength. So what am I expecting to come out with when I spend time with the Lord? One of the things I'm looking at is that strength over weariness. Now, I was preaching in that church Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, which ended 3 p.m. or almost 3 p.m. And I started coming to Lagos immediately. And I was preaching for like three hours. But I didn't have any message prepared. It takes strength to walk in under inspiration. Do you understand? It takes strength. It takes strength to tell somebody, to call, say, who is so-so person by name here, and to prophesy to the person for like 15 minutes with very specific details. It takes strength to run spiritual batteries and not have any spiritual malfunction. Power over weariness. A lot of Christians are misfiring because they are spiritually weary. So when you wait upon the Lord, you solve that problem. So when you say you are waiting upon the Lord, don't just tell yourself 3 days. If at the third day you realize that this battery is not charged, then you continue. How many do you have now? Number 5, growing in the anointing. This is one of the direct benefits of waiting upon the Lord. You grow in the anointing. 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 There's something about the anointing you need to know. God doesn't or rarely releases the anointing if he doesn't trust you to a particular degree. Because the anointing is heaven's gift to you based on your perceived usefulness. If they think that you are someone that can be useful to a certain point, they will bless you with a type of anointing. You know, I was listening to one of God's servants. He said for many years, people call him Apostle now. He said, but for many years, the only grace in his life was a teaching anointing. All right? So, and I've observed this, like, many people who are gifted eventually don't go far because they don't have character. So even if you are gifted, the burden is on you to build a life of character commensurate with your gifting. A lady reached out to me. Somebody referred her to me from the UK last week. And then as I was coming here this evening, I saw her message. She's a psychologist. She's from one of these East African countries, but she's a British citizen. She sent me a message and said, Pastor, the prophecies you gave me were so strategic. I would like to be trained as an intercessor. Man of God, people have been coming to me for counseling. It's been a while I saw somebody who said, Pastor, train me. This one met me once. She didn't ask me if I have time. She only said, this is someone that is praying 10 hours. So. Hey, did you hear me? Are you praying 10 hours? Someone in the UK with all that code, already praying 10 hours, sends you a message and says, I'm ready to start my... If you are praying 10 hours, which training do you need again? Do you know that feeling like, oh my, what you are, okay. Even me, I already prayed 10 hours. You know that feeling like, then someone sends you a message and says, please, I need training. When can we start? I say, we start waiting. I mean, slow down. But can you see? We had a moment of prayer, like an hour on the phone, and that thing generated a very strong hunger because the anointing is closely knit with commensurate hunger. Why some people cannot operate in it is because you need hunger to drive it. If you are not hungry, you can't get it. So many times when you wait upon the Lord, you come out with more hunger for him. You know, and this is so important. All right, so when we wait upon the Lord, this is a direct benefit. You grow in the anointing, you become razor sharp. Some things you will take 1 hour to do, can do it in 10 minutes. And this has nothing to do with being a pastor. It has everything to do with being a Christian. Because every Christian is anointed. Number 6, walking in deep and diverse revelations. And Moses is a very good example here. When you spend your time, I think there are some foundational things I've not addressed here, but maybe we'll move it some other time. When you look at the life of Moses, look at how his life progressed. From the moment he met with God at the burning bush, huh? Do you remember? Do you know a bit about Moses? Look at the way his life was progressing. Even when he met with resistance from Pharaoh, he will go back to God and say, "This is what we are dealing with." You don't get too wise for God and say, "Oh, there's nothing you cannot discuss with God." Ah, God, we had a business, we lost, we did it, we need. Lord, I feel sad, and the Lord will encourage you. Some people just feel like, oh, there are certain things you can't really discuss with God. It's because you don't know him. If he put you on that job, you should be able to go to him and say, "Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, we're having a hard time." Then Lord will give you a scripture. He may even send someone to you. The person may just send you a message. Wow. It's as if the person was just like in your room listening to what you are saying. But that is how God wants you to know that the little details of your life are also important to him. Because if those details are not sorted out, you will struggle in fulfilling his own will. Diverse revelations. You are able to walk in very deep. And Paul was speaking. He said, "I know a man 14 years ago. 14 years ago. He said he knows a man. 14. Look at that. 14 years ago. That 14-year-old child born that year is already in secondary school. 14 years. He said, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, I cannot tell." Deep revelations. He said, however, "Deep things were communicated to me for which I'm not even permitted to share with you." The things that Paul wrote, we are still arguing about them. So what if he shared the other one? Deep revelation. The moment your life becomes part, and let me tell you something, there is no truth of the scripture that is yours until you have a revelation about it. There is no truth of the scripture that you read about that is yours truly until you have a revelation about it. Which is why a lot of Christians still struggle with, "Am I really born again?" Because there's no revelation to it. Even when they read it in the Bible that salvation is by faith, they'll still be praying every morning, "Lord, I give you my life. Accept me, write my name in the book of life. I don't know if I've committed anything yesterday that made you get angry and remove my name." Those are the prayer our parents used to pray because they didn't know. Even when I gave my life to Christ, that was your bringing. Every night before I go to bed, peradventure there's anything we have committed. And those people that pray that prayer, they are always raining. They will fight in the day. They will rain curses on their neighbor. They will do the... If there's any sin we have committed. You to stop committing sin now. What's your problem? You are the only one committing sin. Look at everybody's prayer. Only you. Out of 3 million people, only you. You are the only one. But you know, when God begins to give you very deep revelation, sometimes you may be battling a health condition. And the Lord will tell you, "This matter is going to be resolved." And he will give you scripture. He will give you revelation. He will speak to you in your dreams. God will use different means to tell you that this thing is going to be solved. So when everything begins to go against you, you are not bothered because you already have revelation. Because the thing about revelation is twofold. Number one is that God speaks to you. Number two is that you are able to stand in that which God has said. A lot of people receive revelation, but they can't stand in it. Because the moment they see opposition, they begin to shake. So we need deep revelations. Finally, number 7, power over difficult circumstances. There are situations that we face. Even if someone prophesies, it will not go. Until you pray, you fast. Sometimes you take a moment, you go away from people, and you wait on the Lord, you wait on the Lord, you wait on the Lord. You receive power over difficult circumstances. Power over difficult. And I'm talking about things that some of you may not know about difficult circumstances until you get married. Some of you are very healthy now. Wait till you get married. Then you get pregnant. Then doctors start telling you there's something in your body. They saw something. They're like, "Ah." And God help you that you married for love.
Your husband doesn't know how to pray. Your husband is always saying, that pastor preaches for too long. Welcome to the club, amen. Your husband doesn't know how to pray. He doesn't believe in anything. Very soon he will tell you, anywhere we can go, as long as we have solution. Anywhere you stay, hey, bro. Where is that? I'm not killing anybody. I just want my wife to be okay, bro. Well, we told you to learn how to pray. So what do you do? What do you do if you're a David and you are facing Goliath? What do you do? Who told Daniel that he will end up beside lions? Can you sleep in that kind of a place? Even if God tells you, my son, sleep, will you sleep? God tells you, sleep. And you want to sleep, you just look at this big, and those lions, the male lions that have, they look, you that you have never done VG. All of a sudden, you have it, like, let's just wait upon the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Alpha. You that say everything about God is not power, it's about his love. It's about, you will now be remembering scriptures for power, scriptures for holiness, scriptures for fasting. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Sir, I thought you said these things don't matter. You have not seen lion. You have not seen the orchestration of men against one man that is called by God. So when you are and you will be faced with it, too. You may be having it good, and all of a sudden, seasons can change. Seasons can change. So what do you do? What if you now have a dream? For those of us that are single, you have one terrible dream, and you saw yourself at the age of 79. God forbid, you just saw someone dream, and they are 79. And you notice that in that dream, you had no grandchildren, you had no... Like, so I didn't marry. You see the way you even wake up, eh? And then see your friend's message. Hey, babe, we're going out on karaoke. 1, 2, 3. I will break this for nobody. Who is doing karaoke with you? Forget that, you know. I saw something. 79, God forbid, bad thing. Today, fasting. Lock the kitchen door. If your husband says cook, say, I'm not entering that kitchen. Hey, nobody will make me enter that kitchen. Even if my mother comes from a village, I don't want to smell pepper. I don't want to smell fish. We must come against this power. Don't wait till you start having terrible dreams to build capacity. And let me tell you, whether you see it or not, Satan always has a plan. He has a file on you. As long as you are not working the will of God, he's going to carry out his plans. As long as you are close to God, God defends you. Because there are certain things that come out of your life when you are close to God. Number one, all these things I've mentioned. Number two, the fear of the Lord. Number three, that level of intimacy. And there is something about when you are close to the Lord, you attract the force of heaven in your direction. Whether you are a child. This was the first thing they said to me when I became a Christian. Say, now that you are in Christ, you have authority in God. I say, what? Say, yeah. I wasn't even speaking in tongues. That's the first thing they said. Now that you are in Christ, you have authority in Christ. You can do what we do. I say, really? Say yes. I say, anytime. I say yes. I go test her. And even when I wanted to turn back from serving God, my practical experience of the power of God was what convinced me that if I was able, without any of these people beside me, operate in this level of power, it means hell is real. It means hell is real. So listen to me as we round up tonight. You can actually make a decision not to include God into your life, but you can include other things, but start with God. Don't let God be the person who always has to pay for your busyness. And when you go to him because you know it truly matters. A lot of people today are God users, which is why their prayers are no longer answered. And that will not be us in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage you, go back home tonight, sit down, look at your schedule, just look at whatever it is you do.
and begin to ask yourself, how can we restructure this time? If you want to do 10 p.m., you can set that time, 10 p.m., and do it till 11:30. Start from somewhere. Start from somewhere. And believe me, I know, those are the sweetest times to be online. Amen? Those are the sweetest times to be online. When you are just laid in your bed with your phone in your face like this, and they'll be pushing all those short reels and shorts to you. It's the best time, believe me. I know, I'm there too. But I'm also here to tell you that for every enjoyment gained, there is something you also lost. You are not as tired as you think. It's because you've not started praying. You are not as tired as you think because you still spent 1 hour on TikTok. You are not as tired as you think. Those that wait upon the Lord. Let me rephrase. Those who make the deliberate decision to wait upon the Lord will become strong. You can be strong. You can be strong. Hallelujah. You can be strong. You can be strong. Hallelujah. You can be strong. Regardless of what is going on in your life now, you can be strong. And my prayer for every one of us tonight is that we will find that place of strength in the name of Jesus. We will find that place of strength. You need to be strong for your family spiritually. You need to be strong for your own life, for your ministry, for your destiny. You have to be strong. Everything rests on strength. This building is resting on strength. The pillars, the iron rods, the casting, everything. Everything is resting on strength. Everything about your life is resting on strength. Don't play games. Everything. Don't use substandard materials to build the blocks of your destiny. Everything is resting on strength. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you. And we ask that, Lord, you will bless us in the name of Jesus. Lord, cause us to hear the summon to come into your presence. Lord, we want to seek you. We want to know you. We want to make the sacrifice. We want to spend time with you. Lord, we ask tonight, give us the grace. Give us the grace and the hunger to seek after you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name.